From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, April 2nd. Coming up, the National Agriculture Organization, FFA, reached a record 1 million members last year. But the number of farms in the U.S. is shrinking. We'll take a look at what all this means for the future of farming. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the state's prison review board needs to change how it approaches some cases. Alex Degman has more.
Two members of the board, including its chair, resigned last month after a man who was released from prison allegedly killed an 11-year-old boy, Jaden Perkins, and seriously injured his pregnant mother, Latoria Smith. Pritzker says board members will get more domestic violence training.
I think that the changes that are necessary here are evident in the fact that the panel didn't take into consideration enough the domestic violence history of this particular prisoner.
Crosetti Brand was on mandatory supervised release when he was accused of threatening Smith. He went back to prison, but the prisoner review board said they didn't have enough to keep him detained. I'm Alex Degman.
An Illinois wildlife rescuer is encouraging hunters to consider alternatives to lead ammunition in an effort to protect bald eagles. Temer Yarger is the founder of Hog Capital Wildlife Rescue and Rehab in Kewanee. She's seen multiple cases of eagles with lead poisoning this year, and several of them were too far gone to save.
Just be mindful of what you're putting into nature, because it may seem okay, but it may not be.
Yarger says eagles will ingest lead when they eat from deer gut piles left by hunters. Eagles with severe lead poisoning suffer from digestive tract failure and neurological issues like seizures. More than 3,100 eagles winter in Illinois every year. The total eclipse of the sun happening next week, April 8th, is set to bring tens of thousands of visitors to Midwestern towns in its path, including one in southern Illinois. Harvest Public Media contributor Eric Schmidt reports these communities are eager to see the economic boost.
Carbondale, Illinois, is in the path of the eclipse this year. That was true in 2017 as well. Stephen Mitchell directs economic development for the city.
Carbondale has won the celestial lottery.
He says the eclipse 7 years ago brought in about $8 million of economic impact. Mitchell says that translated to big business for restaurants that are staples in the Carbondale community.
Each and every one of them said, I had the single biggest day of my entire restaurant career over decades that one day.
Mitchell says the city expects to see tens of thousands of guests like it did in 2017. He says they're prepared so they can capture every dollar that comes into the town for the eclipse this year. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Eric Schmid.
The Fighting Illini women's basketball team is headed to the Women's Basketball Invitation Tournament Championship. They'll take on top-seeded Villanova on Wednesday night. Yesterday, Illinois defeated top-seeded Washington State 81-58. Makira Cook scored 16 of her 20 points in the first half, and Genesis Bryant finished with 18 points. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis tomorrow night. Last Friday, we reported on the difficulties facing the Champaign Unit 4 School District. However, there was a mistake in the reporting. We incorrectly stated that Unit 4 Families for a Smarter Solution is organizing protests at Champaign school board meetings. Families from Booker T. Washington STEM Academy told us they have been organizing the protests to prevent the possible firing or transfer of their principal and assistant principal. They've been using the Unit 4 Families for a Smarter Solution webpage as well as other Facebook pages to get their word out. Still to come, we'll learn more about how the number of farms in the U.S. is shrinking. We'll look at what all this means for the future of farming. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, a law in Illinois is supposed to protect victims of sexual assault, requiring licensed hospitals to provide either transfer services or medical forensic services. But a new investigation shows several hospitals routinely skirt the law. We'll talk with the reporter behind that story. I'm Christine Herman. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You are listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The average age of farmers in the U.S. continues to rise, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's new Census of Ag. It's now nearly 60 years old. But there's also an increase in the number of new farmers, and student membership in the agricultural organization, FFA, is at an all-time high. Harvest Public Media contributor Peter Medlin reports on what these shifting populations say about the future of agriculture.
It's officially spring, and an unexpected snowstorm has hit the small village of Winnebago in northern Illinois. But the weather isn't stopping the line of tractors heading down a country road towards Winnebago High School. Today is the school's 49th annual Drive Your Tractor to School Day.
I'm a third generation. We always bring the biggest tractor that we have on the farm.
Maddie Palm-Graceffa is driving a giant 485-horsepower tractor that's typically tilling fields at her family's farm. For Maddie, like many Winnebago students, Tractor Day and farming are a family tradition. She's decided to pursue a career outside of agriculture, but other students, including junior Mason Heslop, see a future in farming.
I definitely like to be a farmer and like the rest, a lot of the family.
Student interest in agriculture is growing. The national group FFA, which used to be known as Future Farmers of America, announced a new record membership last year, almost a million students. And many states, like Illinois, have 100% affiliation, where every student taking an ag class can become a member. Christy Meyer is a communications manager for the national FFA organization. She says not all of their members want to be farmers. She says there are ag careers in everything from sales to drone technology, and the group isn't just for rural students either.
We're in 23 of the 25 largest cities. So we have a really successful chapter in Chicago. We have a newer chapter in Washington, D.C.
Some chapters grow food for their school, and others focus on local waterway quality. According to the latest USDA Ag Census, the number of new and beginning farmers is increasing. Yet, of the top 10 states with the highest percentage of new farmers, none are in the Midwest. Mark Schleusener has a few ideas why. He's with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. For one, he says 75% of ag-dedicated land in the Midwest is covered by corn and soybeans. And it also has a bit to do with those big tractors the kids were driving to school.
Think of the value of your house. A mid-sized corn and soybean producer probably has several pieces of equipment, each of them valued at more than your house's value.
Those costs are a major barrier to entry for potential new farmers. Kate Coy is the senior beginning farmer associate at the Center for Rural Affairs. She develops ag curriculum and is a tenant farmer in Southwest Iowa.
You're seeing urban youth and rural youth who are interested. They might want there to be a path for them to be involved in agriculture, but we are up against enormous issues when it comes to accessing land.
In fact, finding affordable land is the top challenge for young farmers, according to the 2022 National Young Farmer Survey. The total number of farms continues to decline. That's due to consolidation, as the average farm size keeps increasing. And farmland across the Midwest is being sold for record highs. Last year in Missouri, a farm sold for close to $35,000 per acre. Coy says it's time to think outside of the traditional model of a family farm with just one farmer.
We could think of cooperative farms and collaborative farms. We could think of putting our land into a land trust and securing that land for generations so that it cannot be developed.
As farmers grow older, hundreds of millions of acres are expected to exchange hands over the next couple decades. And while there are many potential new farmers, the big question is whether they'll have the chance to tend the land. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Peter Medlin.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy and windy with scattered showers and thunderstorms and a high of 66 degrees. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming westerly with gusts up to 40 miles per hour this afternoon. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Alex Degman, Tim Shelley, Eric Schmid, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.